trumpets and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. We continue, as I said, the series of our sermons on the feasts of Jehovah, the seven feasts that Israel celebrated in the Old Testament. All seven feasts, if you will recall, point to the works of salvation that Jesus Christ would accomplish later on in history. You remember the first four that we've already studied. First was Passover, which pointed ahead to Christ's crucifixion, His death on the cross as the Lamb of God, so that His people did not have to suffer judgment. Second was unleavened bread, which pointed to the result of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, a deliverance from the power of sin, especially that spreading power of sin that leavened pictured. First fruits pointed to Christ's resurrection, which gives to His people a hope of the resurrection of the dead. And then fourthly, Pentecost, as we saw last week, pointed to Christ's pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the New Testament church. And today we look fifthly at the Feast of Pentecost, a Feast of Trumpets, and see how it points to another saving work of God in the future for Israel. This saving work of God, Christ did after He poured out the Holy Spirit upon His church. That's why the feast comes after Pentecost. The Feast of Trumpets follows Pentecost just as the saving work that the feast points to follows the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This saving work that the Feast of Trumpets pointed to is not a one-time work. This Feast of Trumpets points to a continuing work that Christ does for the church. The saving work is a work that continues even today. What is that work? The work that we see today that the Feast of Trumpets points to is the work of Christ in the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel to us so that we get faith and are saved. The Feast of Trumpets points to that saving work. It was during the seventh month of the Jewish calendar that the Jews celebrated this fifth feast. Leviticus 23, verse 24 says, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month. And this was the beginning of the fall season, around September or October on our calendar. It was a time when all the crops had been fully gathered and a new agricultural season was beginning for the Israelites. They had planted all they needed to plant, and they had gathered all that they had planted. And now was the beginning of another season. So it was a time of rest. It was a time that they could think of how God had blessed them and look forward to what God would do for them in this new year. In fact, many Jews today still celebrate this Feast of Trumpets as a Jewish New Year. So we have our New Year. The Chinese have their own New Year, and the Jews would celebrate the Feast of Trumpets as their New Year. In the beginning of this New Year, on the seventh month, on the first day of the month, the trumpets would be blown to announce the coming of this new Jewish year. The Feast of Trumpets, as we shall see, pointed ahead to a new age to come. Just as the Feast of Trumpets in the Old Testament announced a new year, so it pointed the Israelites ahead to a new age to come. And that new age would be the age of preaching. Preaching for the salvation of souls in Jesus Christ. We notice that in the Feast of Trumpets. We consider that tonight. Feast of Trumpets, first, the symbol of the trumpets itself. Second, the keeping of the Feast of Trumpets. And third, the celebrating of that Feast of Trumpets. So the Feast of Trumpets, the symbol of trumpets, what it means, purposes of trumpets and how it reflects preaching. Second, the keeping of the Feast of Trumpets. And third, a celebration We're celebrating the Feast of Trumpets. In the Old Testament, the trumpets were unique instruments with unique purposes for God's people. Trumpets in the Old Testament, as they are today, were clear, loud, authoritative instruments that were used for certain purposes. They were less developed than the trumpets of today, of course, but they were similar. There were two kinds of trumpets back then. First, there was the silver trumpets that we read about in Numbers chapter 10. These were more skinny trumpets, pipes made out of silver, and had a medium-sized bell to them without any parts that we see today. So thin pipes without any valves, but were blown by the priests in the temple, as Numbers 10 verse 8 indicates. There were metal and silver trumpets, but there were also trumpets made from animals' horns, particularly the curved horns of the ram. If you are familiar with the shofar, that's what these trumpets were. The shofar is the Jewish word for these ram's horns that were blown like trumpets. They usually produce a deeper sound than their metal counterparts. These two kinds of trumpets, the ram's horn and the silver trumpets, had certain characteristics that are similar to the trumpets of today. As I already mentioned, they were loud. They were authoritative. They were meant to announce. They could be heard from far away. They really weren't used at first to be musical instruments, they weren't used, first of all, to produce entertaining music for everyone. If they wanted entertaining music, they would get the harp or the timbrel or some other instrument. But these trumpets were loud instruments. They were authoritative and not meant for music playing at first. They weren't soft instruments. You know that. If an instrument is played in a band, you don't need very many of them to do the job. Often they're played and the other instruments in the band stop playing so that everyone can listen to the trumpet, or else that trumpet will drown out all the other instruments. The trumpet is very noticeable. It is that loud, authoritative sounding instrument. There's a beauty to that sound, a majesty to that sound, but it has always stood out to have that loud, authoritative sound. And because of this characteristic, the trumpet had certain purposes. Five purposes we see today in the Old Testament. There may have been more, but five we notice today. First, to gather his people. That's what we read about in Numbers chapter 10, verse 3. And when they shall blow with them, those silver trumpets, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So when the priests would blow these silver trumpets, the people in the camp of Israel or the people in the towns of Israel would hear the trumpet, and they would gather together at the temple there to worship God. They had to drop what they were doing. If they were busy with their work, they had to quit. If they were sleeping, they had to wake up and they had to make their way to worship God as they had been called to with that trumpet. The trumpet was to gather God's people. Second, it was to proclaim the greatness of the king, or to show the glory of the king. Often, because of the majestic sound that the trumpet indeed produces, it was meant to be played at the coronation of a king. 1 Kings 1 verse 34 shows David directing the people to crown his son Solomon as king. And at that coronation, David said, "And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel, and blow ye with the trumpet and say, God save the king." To gather his people and then to pronounce or to declare the majesty, the glory of the one who had that crown on his head. Third, to lead the people. To lead them on their journeys. Numbers 10 verses 5 through 6 that we read especially talks about that. When you blow an alarm, that was a certain sound that the trumpet could produce, probably a long siren sound. "When you shall blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey." They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. The context, of course, as you know, of Numbers was the Israelites traveling through the wilderness to get to the land of Canaan, to the promised land. And as they traveled, the trumpets were blown as a way to direct them, to tell them when to get up, when to leave camp, when to gather their belongings and their children and make their way towards Canaan. It was to lead them in their journeys. Fourth, to direct the people in time of war. Ezekiel 33, verse 3, we read, "If when he, that is the watchman, seeth the sword come upon the land, he shall blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if that sword cometh and taketh him away, his blood shall be on his own head." So the watchman on Jerusalem would stand there and look out into the country. They would stand on the walls and see if there were any enemies coming. And when they saw any enemy approaching, they would blow that trumpet as a warning, as a way to direct the people that an enemy was approaching. And if anyone didn't heed that warning, that signal of the trumpet, then their blood, says Ezekiel, would be on their own heads. They didn't listen to that trumpet. And so those then, when they heard the trumpet, those who were fit for battle would get ready. They would gather their weapons, they would put on their armor, they would gather around their centurion or their leader, the captain of their army, and they would be ready to defend the city and go to war. And others who were not capable or who were not supposed to go to war would hide, would gather their children, would gather the weaker, physically weaker people of the city and hide and get some cover and flee if necessary. The trumpet was used to direct the people in war when the enemy approached. And fifth, perhaps most astounding, fifthly, the trumpet in the Old Testament was to defeat or destroy enemies miraculously. Numbers 10 verse 3 that we read. "And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then shall he blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies." The people of Israel did not have to fear their enemies, because God said when an enemy came, when they were going to go to battle against their enemy, what they had to do was blow the trumpet, and God would hear that trumpet sound, and he would miraculously defeat their enemies. And they experienced that many times. You know a couple of examples. Most familiar, perhaps, the example with Joshua at the Battle of Jericho. You know how the people surrounded that city and walked around it many times for 7 days. And then at the end, they blew their trumpets and the walls came down. You know the story, secondly, of Gideon, of how he, with only 300 men, came at night to the Midianite camp and blew their trumpets and dashed their pitchers onto the ground and shouted, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And those Midianites were paralyzed. They got up and they ran and they killed one another. And God discomfited their army that day. The trumpet was used by God to actually miraculously defeat God's enemies. The trumpet, with its unique characteristics and its uses in the Old Testament, symbolize something. It's a picture, a type of something. It pictures the preachers of God's Word in the New Testament. These instruments point to the people of God who are used as instruments, just as a trumpet, as instruments to proclaim the Word of God. God's voice is like that authoritative sound that comes from the trumpet. The sound of the trumpet is what gathered the people, what proclaimed the greatness of the king, what defeated their enemies, what led them in the wilderness, what helped them get ready for battle. The sound of the trumpet was pointing to God's authoritative word, his voice, to do all these things for the benefit of his people. But who are the trumpets? Who are the instruments that bring forth God's voice, who show God's word to his people? All the preachers, the chosen spokesmen, the ones who God really blows through so that they proclaim his word. The trumpets picture the preachers who produce God's word. Isaiah 58 verse 1 tells Isaiah, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Hosea 5 verse 8, blow ye the cornet, a certain kind of trumpet, in Gibeah, and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Bethaven after thee, O Benjamin. Both Isaiah and Hosea, these two prophets, when they proclaimed God's word, when they preached, their voices were compared to the sound of the trumpet, which shows that that's what the trumpets pictured. That's what the trumpets were a figure of. In Revelation 1 verse 10, John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, so on Sunday, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. John heard the voice of Jesus. That's who was speaking to him, like the voice of a trumpet. And who is the greatest preacher who has ever lived, who has ever walked on this earth? Well, it's Christ himself. And when he spoke God's word, his voice was as a sound of a trumpet. The trumpet that makes the authoritative sound pictures the preacher who speaks the authoritative word of God. Take that seriously, people of God. Take that picture seriously and apply that now. When the preacher speaks, when he's consistent with God's word, it's not just any man speaking. It's as though God is picking him up and speaking his word through him, just as that priest picked up that trumpet and blew into it for the command of God's people. It's not something to miss whenever you like, feel like it, that preaching. It's not something to skip out on. It's not something to zone out on, zone in and out on. It's not something to sleep to, because God is speaking. And though a mere man, though a weak man speaks with stutterings and mistakes, God's word is spoken. We have to take that seriously. Trumpets symbolize the preachers of God's word, and thus the purposes of the trumpets in the Old Testament are the same as the purposes of the trumpets today. The same as preachers today. First, as we saw, to gather his people. To gather them. Just as the sound of the trumpet brought God's people from whatever they were doing, from their busyness, from their tasks, from their wanderings, just as that trumpet brought them to gather together at the temple to worship God, so also the trumpets of today, the preachers of today speak, and the purpose is to gather God's people to worship God. Those who do not yet believe, those who are walking in sin, those who need to be gathered back to God's house, who neglect it. God's word sounds through the trumpets, the preachers of today, as a way to bring back and to gather his people. By the way, it's not a weak invitation. It's not a well-meant offer or a free offer. It's not as though God says, I really would like you to come if only you would. If only you would choose. That's not the character of a trumpet, is it? Remember what the character of that trumpet is. The character of the trumpet is that authoritative sound, a loud sound, a sound that commands, that signals the command of God. And God's people are gathered. And so it comes. Repent as a command. Believe in the Savior Jesus Christ. And powerfully, God uses it to gather. Second, to proclaim the greatness of the King. That sound of the trumpet, remember, was used in the coronation services to show, to express the majesty of the King, the glory of the one who had been crowned. And that's what preaching does. The preaching announces, it pronounces the glory of King Jesus, the one who sits on the throne in heaven right now as our ascended Lord, as the one who has done all the work necessary for our salvation. Preaching's purpose is to express how Christ is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Preaching is a doxology. Preaching is a praise to God, a praise for Christ Jesus and the people listen. And the people honor and glorify that king. That's the purpose of a trumpet. To gather, to glorify. Third, to lead God's people on their journey in this life. The sound of the trumpet, remember in the Old Testament, was to tell the people when to get up, when to leave, when to make their way to Canaan, how to do it. And that's what the preaching does too. It directs, it leads God's people on their journey through this worldly wilderness. The preaching is meant to explain God's law. It's meant to explain what we ought to do in our life, to apply God's word very directly to you, to help you along, to tell you how to get to Canaan, to point you in the right direction. It exhorts us. Sometimes it makes us uncomfortable. As Israelites, when they were in the camp, when they were resting perhaps in their tents and that trumpet sounded, they may not have wanted to get up. It may have made them uncomfortable. It may have been a pain to them to get up and leave and take the journey and do what the trumpet told them to do. And that's how the preaching is. Sometimes it comes very sharply. It tells us what we must do, and we don't like it. It's uncomfortable to hear. But the preaching is meant for that, to direct us in our journey in this life toward Canaan, our heavenly home. Fourth, to direct the people in warfare. Remember, the purpose of the trumpet was to warn God's people of the approaching enemy, to tell the men to gather and fight, to tell God's people to gather their children, their wives, and hide and keep them safe. That's what preaching does. That's what it's for. It's to warn. It's to tell us, direct us in battle. There are many enemies. Their sins, their temptations, their lies, their liars, their heresies out there, their false churches. That's why the preaching includes references to our enemies. Very specifically, sometimes even bringing up the names of our enemies and the names of people who promote the lie. That's not to bash fellow Christians. That's not the purpose. It may sound like that sometimes. But the preaching's purpose is to warn, to tell us that we must beware, to show the soldiers what enemies we must attack, to warn our children what we must hide from and defend ourselves against. Preaching directs God's people in the proper warfare against the enemy. It gathers, it glorifies God, it leads, it directs in warfare, and finally it defeats the enemy. Yes, miraculously, just as it did in the Old Testament. The trumpets were blown by Gideon, by Joshua and the people to destroy the enemy. And that's what preaching does. That's the power of preaching. No, the man isn't strong. The man's a weak instrument. Man's a sinner. But God uses that weak instrument like a trumpet so that His word is declared. And when God's people come by faith and listen to that word, the enemy is destroyed. Satan's temptations are brought to naught. Sins are conquered. Temptations are able to be beaten. Addictions are taken out of our lives. Pride is expelled. And even wicked men, hypocrites who exist within the church may walk out. Because that trumpet defeats the enemy. Miraculously, he turns our hearts. He destroys or conquers that old man that constantly raises up its ugly head in our lives. Fear is quelled. Guilt is chased away. Sin is crushed. That's the purposes of the trumpet. And that's the purpose. Those are the purposes of preaching. The symbol of trumpet points to the preaching of the gospel. But now we need to understand the feast of the trumpets. And how that was kept. We understand the main symbol of the feast, the trumpet sound, and what that pointed to. But we have yet to understand what was so important about the feast. Why a celebration with the blowing of trumpets? For the Israelites kept the feast of trumpets on the first day of the seventh month. You remember, on the day that most Jews were celebrating a new agricultural year. It was during the fall season after all the crops had been gathered. And on this day, the Jews are supposed to have the ceremonial blowing. Leviticus 23, verse 24 says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial blowing of trumpets and holy convocation." Just as all the other feast days were a Sabbath day of rest, so also this feast day, this fifth feast, was a day that the Israelites were to gather and rest. Rest from their earthly work. Rest so that they could celebrate. On this day there would be a ceremonial blowing of the trumpets. The priests would do it. Not every individual, not every father would have a trumpet, but the priests would do it for the people. We don't know how long it went on, how loud it sounded. We know that the people understood when that trumpet was blown, the people in the surrounding area understood that it was time to rest and keep the Feast of Trumpets. Numbers 10, verse 10 explains a little more about what they did. "Also, in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days, in the beginning of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God." So on that first day, the priest would take that trumpet and would go. He would go to the temple, and there in the temple, there would be many sacrifices that would be made. The blood of the lambs and the goats and the bullocks would have been spilled out. And there on the altar, there would be sacrifice burned before God. And the priest would come before those sacrifices, and it would blow his trumpet above them, over them, as the text says, as a memorial. Both Leviticus 23 and Numbers 10 speak of this trumpet blowing as a memorial. What's a memorial? A memorial is something that you institute, like a pillar, a building, a stone, or even an action, something that you do so that it can help you remember. So you can bring to your mind something very important that God has done. That's what a memorial is. It brings to mind, it helps you remember a significant event. And that's what this Feast of Trumpets was supposed to do. As they blow those trumpets, and the people of God heard those trumpets, they were to remember. Remember every feast. Every feast of the Israelites was to point the Israelites back on something that God had done in history. Something, some saving work, to help them remember that, and to point forward, as we shall see. But it was to help them remember a saving work of God. What did they have to remember as the trumpets were blown? It wasn't just one specific event. The Israelites were to bring to mind the many saving events that God had done for them with the blowing of trumpets. Remember Gideon, remember Joshua, and there were many other instances that the Israelites would have remembered when the trumpet was blown and God had delivered, had gathered, had led, had directed in war, had destroyed their enemies. And so it pointed the Israelites to all those times. They remembered what God had done with the voice of the trumpet, and they worshipped. But on this feast day, a sound of trumpet was also supposed to point them ahead. It was supposed to point them to the future of what Christ was going to do, a work of salvation that he was going to accomplish. All the feast days did that. And that word memorial in Numbers 10 and Leviticus 23 does not only mean to remember what God had done in the past, but that word remember more generally means to bring to mind. And so the Israelites were not only to bring to mind what God had done, but the blowing of the trumpets was to help them bring to mind what God would do. Some work of salvation. What was that? What work of salvation? It wasn't one event. It wasn't like the Passover, which pointed to one event, the cross. It wasn't like first fruits, which pointed to one event, the resurrection. But it was many saving works of God with a trumpet. The preaching of the gospel that wouldn't just take place at one time, but would happen again and again and again for the saving of his people. It pointed to the time when Christ would work the preaching of the gospel in such a way that many, many, many people will be gathered. The Feast of Trumpets pointed to the age of preaching, the new age. after Pentecost, when God had poured out His Holy Spirit in His people, and that preaching would go forth. Christ would send those preachers. He would work the Holy Spirit and the apostles and others to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And others will be gathered, both Jews and Gentiles. Many, many people. You remember the preaching of Peter. 3,000 all at once. And then 5,000 later on, at one time, many were brought to salvation, to faith in the Savior through the trumpeting of a preacher. This Feast of Trumpets pictured the spread of the gospel and salvation. That's this great saving work of Christ. Christ speaks through preachers. And the Spirit works with that preaching to save. To save. It's a power unto salvation. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. We're living in a time when this feast is being fulfilled. We didn't live in the time when Christ was crucified and Passover was fulfilled. We didn't live in a time when first fruits was being fulfilled. But we live in a time when preaching, when the Feast of Trumpets is being fulfilled with preaching. Jesus is performing His saving work now, from the time of Pentecost till now, with the preaching of the gospel. This is the work of salvation that Jesus is accomplishing through faithful ministers. What is being trumpeted? What is the content that God uses as a way to save? It's Christ and Him crucified. As 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It is a sacrifice of Christ. That's why when that trumpet was blown in the Old Testament, it was blown over the sacrifices in the temple, as though that trumpet were proclaiming what those sacrifices meant. That's what the preaching does. It points. It points to the cross. It proclaims what God has done. It shows the wonderful works of God and salvation for His people. It's the preaching of what we saw this morning in the Lord's Supper. It's the message contained in that Lord's Supper of the broken body and shed blood, of the atonement that Jesus Christ had accomplished for us, of the covering of His blood over our sins, and of presenting us as perfect men and women and children in the sight of God. That's what we proclaim. That's what the trumpets do today. And it's the way that God performs salvation. Do not doubt that. The preaching is a way of salvation. God uses it as a means to save. Think about it. The Feast of Trumpets was placed side by side with the other feasts. You think that the Feast of Passover is important? Points to the cross. The Feast of First Fruits is important? Points to the resurrection. The Feast of Pentecost is important? It points to the Holy Spirit coming out. And just as important as all those feasts and the events that those feasts pictured is the preaching. The preaching is an important work of salvation that God wanted the Israelites to see in picture form. And He pointed them ahead to this important, profound work that He would accomplish. To the unbeliever, it's not that important. To the unbeliever, he looks at preaching and he thinks it's foolishness. That's what the text, 1 Corinthians 1:18 says. To the unbeliever, preaching is just a trumpet tooting his horn. And that's how the world looks at preaching today, and we're tempted to look at preaching that way too. It's just a person up there rambling on. But the preaching's not that. God uses preaching in mighty ways to gather His people, to lead us, to destroy enemies, to direct us in battle against our enemies, and to save, to give us faith, and to build us up in the faith. We must keep this feast today, just as the Israelites did. How do we keep it today? How do we bring to mind the importance of this work of salvation? As a church, we keep this feast by making sure that preaching is our number one calling. It's Christ's most important work in this age, His most important work of salvation in this age, to save people through preaching. And so we must support the preaching, believing that preaching truly is the power unto salvation. We give of our money to support preaching. We give our money in the general fund to support preaching in this area. We give our money to other funds to support preaching and missionary endeavors. Not only money, but we work as committees, as individuals, to somehow promote the preaching here and abroad. We pray. We pray earnestly for the spread of the gospel so that our churches continue to be faithful in the proclamation of the gospel, the main work of salvation that Christ works today. And of course, if we support the preaching, and that's how we celebrate the feast today, supporting the preaching, then we're going to show our support by coming under the preaching ourselves, because we still need the preaching. It leads us. It guides us in this life. It warns us against enemies. We sit under the preaching as much as our natures despise it. And we bring our children under the preaching so that our children learn to see it as a profitable work of God in their lives. We keep the Feast of Trumpets today by supporting that preaching. We also keep the Feast of Trumpets by being trumpets. By being trumpets. First of all, this is a call to you young men. God doesn't call all men to the ministry. And you're not any lesser of a person for not being a minister. A minister is just a weak instrument. But every young man must think about it. Must consider. Is this what God is calling me to? Am I to be a trumpet? To be an instrument in Christ's hand for the work of His salvation in this age? To be used by God to save others. By His Spirit, He calls certain men. He speaks mysteriously, He speaks mystically even, and you feel the draw of this calling of God. And young men, you might like to do something else. You may have a dream job of your own. You might have more fun. You might think you have more fun in another job, doing something else. But God makes you know that you can't, that you must be a trumpet. And you say like Paul, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. If that resonates with you, young man, then you consider seriously. You don't run away from the call. You consider seriously that you have to keep the Feast of Trumpets by being a trumpet yourself. As weak as you think you may be, if that's a call, you pursue it. But the preaching is not only for us who feel that call and are ordained to the ministry. But there's a certain kind of preaching that all of us do. No, it's not a preaching in the official sense. Not a preaching as an ordained man, but it's a witnessing. To keep the Feast of Trumpets, we witness the gospel to others. And we're used by God to bring others to faith. Keeping the Feast of Trumpets today is done by supporting the preaching as much as possible. By being a means in His hands to be a trumpet. But the text does not only show us that we ought to keep the feast. The text shows us that we ought to celebrate it. That means we ought to be rejoicing in it. We ought to be glad, happy about something. There's supposed to be a worship of God with that rejoicing. A worship of God because of some salvation that He's performed and is performing. That word feast literally means to twirl, the dance. And I'll remind you of that every time we have a sermon on the feast day. So don't get sick of it. The feast, the word feast means to twirl, to dance. And it points to the gladness, the great joy concerning God's work. In Numbers 10, verse 10, we read also, in the day of your gladness, in the day of your solemn assemblies, it was supposed to be a day filled with gladness and joy. Not only going about trying to do our duties with a seriousness, there was a solemnity to it, but there was a joy in the hearts of the Israelites when they celebrated the feast. They remembered what God had done with the trumpets, and they looked forward to what God would do with the trumpets. We think of the reality of the Feast of Trumpets, we ought to celebrate too. There ought to be rejoicing. We ought to celebrate the fact that we have the preaching of the gospel today. The preaching of the Word of God concerning Jesus Christ, explained to us in a language that we can understand, in a simplicity that a child can grasp and that we can apply to our lives. The preaching of the gospel ought to be cherished and rejoiced about. Each one of us, know this, would not have active faith without the preaching. Can you believe that? You would not believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and know your salvation if you didn't have the gospel trumpeted to you. Because Christ means for that gospel to be brought to you in the way of preaching. How shall they call, Romans 10 verse 14, how shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? There needs to be a preacher, a trumpet, so that we may turn with our naturally depraved and unbelieving hearts to faith in Christ. Graciously, Christ has not only sacrificed Himself on the cross for you. He's not only poured out His Holy Spirit upon you. But He has brought to you the preaching to make known unto you your salvation, so that you may know it, so that you may celebrate it. Celebrate the grace of God shown in preaching. Rejoice, because God has chosen to make known the gospel to you. Many have the wrong attitude to preaching today. Preaching has fallen on hard times, and we're easily affected by that attitude. It's seen as boring. It's seen as something that needs to entertain me, or else I don't like it. Nobody wants to hear it. It's foolish talk. You know how the saying goes, stop preaching to me. Our attitude toward the preaching ought to be different, drastically different from the unbelieving world. It's not foolishness to us. It's the power of God unto salvation. God uses it to save us, to build up our faith, and we celebrate it. Don't do so. Take it for granted. Don't rejoice in it. And He just might take it away. He's done it before. You heard of the famine of the word. When prophets of the Old Testament stopped coming to His people. That was a devastating time. It shocks. It hurts. Don't wait for God to remove the gift of preaching to learn how precious it is. We often think of preaching as a young person may think of his parents. You know how young people think of their parents. Young people often despise their parents. They take them for granted. They don't see them as that important. They want to be rid of them. They're looking forward to the time when they can be out of the house, away from mom and dad. But in reality, the young person should know that he would not even be here if it were not for his parents. Parents brought them into this world. Parents fed them. Parents clothed them. Parents spent an exorbitant amount of money to raise them up properly, not to mention teaching them spiritually. Young people frequently, however, don't think about that. And then one day it hits them. They move out. And they realize just how important parents are in the absence of their parents. Or they become a parent themselves and they don't have mom and dad to go to for help. How young people view their parents is often how we view preaching. We take it for granted because we have it all the time. We don't think it's that important. We feel like we don't need it at times. But the reality is that we need preaching. We needed it. Just as the young person wouldn't have been there, so also we wouldn't be where we are without preaching. We wouldn't be in this church. We wouldn't be members here. We wouldn't be able to confess our faith. We won't be able to live our lives spiritually. There will be no growth. Don't wait for God to take us away from preaching, to celebrate the fact that we have it and thank Him for it. Celebrate this gift as a means of salvation. For God uses that preaching to save us, to build us up, to lead us in this journey through life, to defeat sin, to help us battle against our enemies. Celebrate preaching because of what He has used it for you to do in your lives. There's something else about preaching that should make us celebrate. Something else to make us rejoice. Not only that it brings us salvation and it builds us up in our salvation, but also this. Preaching is the way, trumpeting is the way in which God brings about the end. The end when we will experience full salvation in heaven, both body and soul. When all the trumpets have sounded, think about preaching, when all the trumpets have sounded, when all God's elect have been gathered, then God sounds the last trumpet. And you know what that last trumpet is, right? The end of the world. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. In a moment, 1 Corinthians 15:52. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. These passages speak about that last trumpet sound. And that last trumpet sound, believe me, is not the sound of a silver or a golden trumpet or a ram's horn. That last trumpet sound is a loud voice of God Himself. The voice of Jesus Christ that John heard in Revelation 1. That's what God's voice will sound like in the end, the scripture is saying. And you know what He's going to say? He's going to sound like a trumpet. But these are the words. The end is come. The end is come. And with that mighty voice, the end comes. Just as He brought into being the world with the word of His mouth. So that trumpet sound with His word will bring the end. The coming of the last trumpet call is related to the preaching today. Because that last trumpet call will not come until the trumpets of today, the preachers of today, sound out their preaching of God's word. Only after all the preachers have sounded out God's voice and all God's people have been gathered, then it's His turn. Then He brings about the end with that last trump. Then the elect are gathered, body and soul. Then destruction of our enemies finally and completely and miraculously takes place. And then we're led, as the trumpet's supposed to do, all the way to heaven. That's a cause for celebration. That's a reason to be joyful and glad about preaching, about the trumpeting of today. Because the more the trumpets sound, the closer we get to the last trumpet call. Rejoice and be glad that Christ uses weak instruments for the salvation of our souls and the building up of our faith. Rejoice that He has saved you with preaching and that He continues to save His people in this way. Celebrate then the reality of this feast as it is being fulfilled in this age. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we celebrate Thy work of salvation through the trumpeting of the gospel. Continue, Lord, to use preachers of today, our preachers, our witnessing for the salvation of Thy people, for the bringing of Thy people, our children, and the elect from all corners of the world to faith in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.